Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, Patrick Van Straten, and this week I'm joined by Mike Atkins.
Afternoon.
And Zach Jellub.
Good afternoon.
And today's episode is brought to you by a very special friend of ours. If you like beer, and if you like free things...
Everybody does.
People in our office do like free things.
Love it.
Then we're giving you a gift as a valued listener. So thanks to our good pals at beer52.com. That's beer52.com. You have the opportunity to try 8 delicious, painstakingly sourced craft beers from around the world. All you have to do is pay the postage, which is $4.95. So you go to www.beer52.com/extra, which is our special URL.
Sick. That's pretty cool. That.
And you actually get 2 extra beers, so you'll get 10 beers for under a fiver.
It's not bad. Wow. It's I'm doing this anyway.
So I've got some beers here for us to try.
Great. I'm actually so excited about it.
I want to try this one, which is called I Can't Believe It's Nutella. It's hazelnut chocolate very vanilla good. Porter. Juice Springsteen.
I'll go for Juice Springsteen.
Juice
what
Springsteen.
A name. What a name.
I'll just say this one at the front.
This is, all of these are really beautiful, actually. That's really sick.
The cans.
That
it.
Looks like kind of Off-White made a beer.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Right, okay.
Get ready for the sound. Oh.
Woof.
Oh, it smells good.
Oh my God. It smells amazing. Smell this.
Oh, it tastes great. Wow.
Doesn't that smell mental?
Wow.
Sorry, this is great audio. But, okay, right, I'm just...
It smells exactly how you think it smells.
Mm.
Oh my God, that's actually delicious.
This is good.
This is actually quite good.
This is like a hot chocolate beer.
Hot chocolate beer? All right, let's do swapsies.
Oh my God.
That's nice and juicy.
Oh my God.
You know how you were saying before that usually with beers that are fruity beers, they just taste like beer? This one just tastes like fruit juice.
Shut up. Give it to me. Ooh, wow. That's good. It tastes like Mbongo.
That's a throwback.
Wow, very coffee, this one.
Oh. It's kind of nice to try, like, genuinely just different beers.
This is quality.
Okay, so basically what Beer 52 do is they kind of traverse the globe to find interesting different kinds of beer. So they go to small batch breweries. And then they send you a subscription box each month. And each one has a different theme. So themes have included in the past, like, Germany, Korea, Belgium, South Africa, but they also do UK beers. So you're always going to get different ones. So if you were to subscribe, you obviously wouldn't get these exact ones. You get different ones. And then you get a copy of Ferment magazine, which kind of explains the theme and a little bit about the individual beers. And you get a beery snack, which I'm excited about. but I have no more information about the beery snack. So yeah, just to... I don't know. What do you think is your favourite of these ones you've tried? Because I kind of like I Can't Believe It's Nutella.
I'm a fan of this one.
I think we'll pick for the right ones for
really?
Us. Because this
Juice Springsteen.
I might actually drink the rest of this. Like,
I'm happily, I'll
we still got 5 more
these.
Here as well.
Yeah, we got some more there. So like we might have to pass those out among the office. But obviously it's really fun that you can try like a bunch of different stuff. And you can leave your subscription at any time if you sign up. The power is in your hands.
Amazing.
As well as like 10 beers. Will be in your hands as well. You can customize your case too. I forgot that. So if you don't like dark beer, so I'm not particularly a big fan of dark beer.
Yeah.
You can choose like a light plan and you'll get much lighter beers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's actually really good, right?
It's the perfect customization for you.
Yeah, so if you go to beer52.com, that's beer52.com/extra, you can get your case free. Don't forget right now, you get those 2 extra free beers, £4.95 for 10 beers.
Bargain.
Amazing stuff.
Can't even get one for that in London.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's a good point, actually.
Literally can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sad. Yeah.
Please round mine, then.
Right, let's get straight into it. We're going to talk today about Barcelona's injury crisis and a little bit about the Champions League as well. So, Ousmane Dembele, we've always been big fans of the guy.
Indeed.
but he's kind of the new Jack Wilshere, the new Kingsley Coman.
He's always been better than Jack Wilshere.
That is probably true.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Frenchman has been ruled out for 6 months after surgery, meaning he's going to miss the end of the season and Euro 2020. Now, he was already suffering from this recurrent hamstring injury. Yeah, he's going to miss Euro 2020.
Oh, man, I didn't even realise that.
Is he ever going to play football again?
It feels like he's not. Because also, whenever he's been fit, he's barely played. I actually went in and counted up. Like, I let Who Scored count up the minutes. But I found that since moving to Barcelona, he's played 33% of the available minutes in the league.
Ridiculous.
Though he has contributed to a goal every 129 minutes in that time. But in 2.5 years, how many injuries do you think he's had, separate injuries? I'm just going to take a sip of my delicious Nutella.
Like six.
Yeah, obviously. I reckon it's more. I reckon it's going to be like double figures, 10, 11.
No, it's 9. Ah. So, you've ruined it. But, anyway, he was having he was back in training from a hamstring injury and then had a setback, and it's the tendon in his hamstring in his right thigh. So, like, it's a genuinely really serious injury.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, do we think that he's ever going to come back to the level he was at before he went to Barca?
You hope so. Like, for Barcelona as well, they'll have some of the best kind of medical team is an offer for him.
Dr. Cougat lives around the corner, doesn't he?
Very true.
The Cougs.
Very true. I think... I just think now with the way youth football is, players play at such a high level so young that they're able to get injured so much quicker than, like, say, back in the day. Because back in the day, the youth, there's so many more youth competitions now, the UEFA Champions League, or is it the UEFA Champions League? Like UEFA
Youth League.
All this kind of stuff, and they're playing so many games. And then they're also being put into the first team practicing, and first team games are so young.
That's true.
Injuries... We're seeing it happen a lot more, and whereas some would say, like, when they get older, it will happen later in their career, as it's meant to be a bit not known. What's the word I'm looking for? To be expected.
Okay.
As you get older.
Right.
Now it's happening by the time they're like 24, 23.
You say
and
that.
It's sad.
You say that, but I think that's just because they are playing younger. Like, if you looked at the average age of Premier League players in the 90s, this is just like my instinct. It'd be much older than it is now.
Yeah, and, no, yeah, okay.
And they were playing more games, and they're playing on worse surfaces. Like, I think part of the reason that we, like, pay attention to it now is when it's a player as high profile as Ousmane Dembele, one. And two, because actually these injuries, yes, there have actually been a lot of cruciate injuries over the last year, but they are becoming less common, I think. And leg breaks seem like they're becoming less common. Like, I remember when someone would break their leg and be out for, like, 18 months or something. And you're like, now...
And now they're back quickly.
Yeah, now can you remember quickly. Something well, breaking a leg Gomez, like out for a year?
Gomez is in training.
Yeah.
Everton boy.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. Well, he looked like he was out for nearly the rest of the season.
The stuff of, like, the Gibril Cissé, like, you know, like his bone coming out of his ankle.
And
like
Aaron Ramsey as well.
And Graham Lasso.
Like, well, those tackles are like... With the level, with VAR now, and with the refereeing standards, those kind of tackles that would normally lead to that injury have kind of been lessened.
And the surfaces as well, right?
The surfaces have definitely got better as well with the pitches. Mm. But I feel so bad for him because mentally...
It's just not gone well for him in Barcelona at all, has it? I mean, when he joined, there was all the hype about what did he cost, like 115? I think he was their most expensive signing.
Maybe 130.
I think it was their record signing when he joined them.
Yeah, he was.
And then he had all those sort of those video game stories about how he'd stay up late at night playing FIFA
whether
or whatever.
They were true or whatever. Is
and then, you know, turn up to training late and tired. Yeah,
attitude problems.
Yeah, and... Now he just gets injured all the time. And when he plays, he seems to play well.
Yeah, definitely.
Seems to play well. I mean, everybody at Barcelona tends to play well anyway.
Sure.
When you're with Lionel Messi.
When you're playing with Messi.
Yeah. But it's just... I can see him going the same way as a bit like Kingsley Coman.
Well, yeah. Kingsley Coman has said exactly what you were saying, right? That, like, he was like, it's really hard to come back.
Yeah. And Coman's turned from this sort of world-class prospect who's going to be like the best winger in the world to somebody who is now...
Injured.
A useful player for Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Coman also say, if I get another injury, I'm retiring?
Yeah, and then he got another injury, but he hasn't retired
yet.
So put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, I mean, when you're getting paid that much, it's different. I just think, honestly, mentally, it's the worst thing. I think because there was something, Ruben Loftus-Cheek is another one. He said in an interview recently that for him, coming, it's worrying like going back into your first game or going back into a competitive game where you're going to get a challenge, and then what if that challenge you break your ankle again or you do something like this straight away or you're not ready for it yet. And like so, and players will, you know, maybe not run as fast as they can to make sure they don't pull their hamstring, or maybe they won't hold onto the ball and dribble past players in case they're going to get tackled and injured again. And so your ability lessens because of it, and you just hope. You hope that mentally Dembele and the rest of them as well can get past.
And it's not just like reintegrating into playing football matches, but it's also like reintegrating into the squad. Because I remember reading this thing about Yannick Bolasie when he had that horrific injury just after he joined Everton. That when you, because you just sat at home all day, there's literally no point going in when you've just got the injury, because you just have to recover. And he said like after a few weeks, and he didn't say like anything bad towards his teammates at Everton, but like the text would dry up. You know, he'd start having less and less contact with people, and that would almost sort of draw him. He sort of became an outcast, even though it wasn't his fault, it wasn't the team's fault. He just wasn't just integrated anymore. It's just sort of the natural.
And they're so busy. Like, I mean, like,
exactly.
It's genuinely difficult. Like, I mean, if one of us got ill, like, it would be very hard for everybody else to do their full time jobs and also like check in on that person all the time.
I think. I mean, best wishes to him. Hopefully, hopefully he comes back quicker and better than ever, with no more reoccurring injuries. But does mean Barca have an emergency transfer?
Yeah, well, Barcelona's season is kind of like really being shaped by this at the moment. So Suarez obviously also out injured, but a little bit of a boost there. It looks like he might make the end of the season. He's apparently out. He's walking without crutches after the surgery. He had a medical test the other day that apparently he did well on. I don't know exactly what the test was, but he was apparently ahead of it where he was expected to be.
Which footballers always seem to be. You never hear about a footballer being behind schedule.
It's almost like they're like physically exceptional.
Well, yeah, it's almost like they're athletes.
Ruben himself expected to come back in November.
Ruben.
Yeah, I'm on first. I did have lunch with him. It was quite nice.
Yeah. dreamy.
His eyes are great. But no, but he said that he expected to come back in November, and then it was shocking to him that he was like, why am I still?
But was that him expecting to be back, or was it the club expecting
him
to be back?
I think a mix of both. But I think probably more so him rather than anything.
But even so, he and Hudson-Odoi as well were still both back quite quickly from their injuries. Like at least back in training, Hudson-Odoi was back on the field. Pretty quickly.
Achilles injuries, especially like back in the day, they could be career ending.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, with how far medical science has come, you're back within 6 months. Yeah. So hopefully,
Luis Suarez. Like I don't know what they're doing to him, but he hopes that he can be back. If Barca make it for the semi-finals of the Champions League and the last four games of the league, which could make the difference.
Because,
like you were saying, they're considering this emergency loan at the moment. So the Spanish FA have a rule that if one of your players gets ruled out for more than 5 months, you're allowed to make an emergency signing from another Spanish club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know they do. Weird. They do something similar in France.
Oh, really? What, yeah. But just you can only sign from within that league?
Within French leagues.
That's pretty good, actually.
And obviously here in England, you have like emergency loans, but...
Sure, but it's like...
Very rarely exercised.
Whereas I'm not clear if this is only loans or you can actually sign them, but the options are like, they're not great.
I mean, if I'm honest. They wouldn't be, would they?
I mean, they're all old guys. So anyway, they obviously tried to go for Rodrigo from Valencia in January, who's having a horrific season, but were put off by a €60 million asking price. They then looked at Real Betis forward, who I think we all... know his name, if nothing else about him, Loren Moron. But now they're looking at William Jose from Real Sociedad, who we also saw linked with Spurs. He's 28. He's got 8 goals in 22 this season in the Spanish top flight.
It's okay.
But they might be willing to let him leave because Alexander Isak has been so good lately. What do we think about this? Is this the sort of thing that Barcelona should be doing? I mean, I guess you could get an extra body in the door, you might as well.
It's almost like they've got a guy out on loan. who's really good, Brazilian, called Felipe Coutinho, and they would be stupid if they haven't got a recall option on them. If they've not put a recall option, I don't know this for sure, they might do.
Not sure.
But if they haven't put a recall option in Coutinho's contract, it just shows you the mess that the board is at Barca. Because he can play in midfield, he can play on the wing. You've also got Griezmann, Messi as well, who can also do the same. And it just gives you that option to have him there. He'll get his game time because Dembele is not taking it.
But they also sold Carlos Perez in January.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Carlos Perez is like great or anything, but you're like, you let him go in January and genuinely a week later, right?
Setien said sort of, oh, it's a shame, he was a really good player, I really liked him.
You're like, what are they doing? What are they doing?
And they sold Abel Ruiz as well, who
okay,
who's
I don't
also
know anything about him.
I mean, he's not too dissimilar to Carlos Perez. He's just one of those.
He's just a kid.
He's just a kid. He's sort of a Delafeu, a Pedro, something okay. like that. Just one
Can
of those
Fatty
sorts of players.
The wing?
Yeah, yeah, Fatty, yeah, Fatty is like playing off the left when he plays principally. Like if you looked at when he got a double the other day, it was him making that run that in the past, like Neymar or even Jordi Alba has made. You know that out to in, and Messi just plays that diagonal pass.
Messi just does what Messi does.
But so, maybe him.
William Jose, his numbers the last couple of seasons, he got 11 last season in the league, 15 the season before, 12 the year before that. So it's like,
not bad,
but it's not great.
Yeah, and also, you kind of assume at Sociedad that's kind of. Everything's kind of going through him there. Everything needs to kind of go through. Or he's the guy that's kind of putting everything away. Whereas at Barcelona, he's not going to be given that option.
Well, he's going to get
going to be more messy.
He's going to have creativity around him. But you're like, I agree. Because like, if you look at his expected goals numbers, they're the best they've been in his time at Sociedad this season. It's like 0.6 expected goals and assists per 90. And Alexander Isak is even higher. I think it's like 0.75. So it just feels like, yeah, sometimes you have a team where like all they do is give that person great chances to score. Does that mean that he's going to like dovetail with Barcelona's collection of talent? Is he going to be able to create chances for himself? Are you going to play him in a Champions League game? I kind of don't think you are.
You feel like he's 28. If he if he was good enough, he would have had his move by now, surely. Because you look at Griezmann.
Yeah.
Griezmann was at Sociedad before he went to Atleti, wasn't he? And he made that move when he was 23.
He did have a buyout, though. He had like a 25 mil buyout.
Yeah, but all Spanish league players have a buyout. All of them.
All of them?
All of them. It's like some sort of Spanish employment law thing.
But isn't his buyout mental?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, sure. Players will be
mental. Like 80 mil or
something? Yeah, like Messi's is probably like a billion.
Messi's last time I looked was not that much. It was 300 mil.
What?
You'd be tempted.
You'd have a thing.
You'd be
right?
tempted, right?
Whack 300 million in 100%.
It might have gone up since then.
Because that was the problem with Neymar, wasn't it, when he left? That Barcelona thought they put an unreachable target, and then PSG just went, yeah, we'll give you
it's
all that.
Yeah, it's like 220 mil. Like, it's like, fine, yeah, all right, we'll pay that.
If that was true, though, surely they would have gone, we'll just pay 80 and get Messi. I mean, you'd also have to get the contractual situation.
Yeah, you'd have to get him to say yes. Like, whereas Neymar was going to go. Messi go?
Very true, very true.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
But this takes us nicely into Champions League chat. So the Champions League returns next week. And I want us to talk about... First, I'm going to start off by going through the games. And I want you to tell me which team you think is going to advance.
Chelsea.
All right. Okay. We'll come back to that. Okay, so next Tuesday, the 18th of February, we've got Dortmund versus PSG. What do you reckon? To go through.
So I've watched a few games this season of Dortmund, mainly against Leverkusen and Leipzig. And oh my God, their defence. I don't get why they play so
Not
high.
Not great.
I don't get why they play so high. Honestly. And against Kylian Mbappe and Neymar, they're going to
Because they yeah, PSG ripped. Have wrapped Neymar up in cotton wool the last week.
For the Champions
sure,
League.
But Dortmund's attack is also really tasty.
Dortmund's attack is
especially
is
recently.
Very
but PSG's
scored
defense
five in three consecutive games.
But then when I
is better than
agreed. But then again, like you think about the Inter game, like Inter went into it and we were like, wow, Inter are one of the like, form teams on the continent, and they were like 2-0 up, weren't they, in the first half? And then Dortmund just rattled in three goals. And like when their attack is on song, it's genuinely unreal. Like, you've got Haaland now. You'd have previously said, right, that the weak link in their attack was probably Paco. Now, you're like, you can play Brandt, Royce, Sancho, Thorgan Hazard behind Haaland, and you've got creative fullbacks, and you've got a creative midfield. Well, you've got one creative midfielder. Like, it's genuinely nuts.
It is really good, but I just think defensively... up against...
You think that'll cost them?
Well, against Leverkusen, against Volland, who... I think Volland's a good player.
Volland's
He's a very good striker. But Kylian Mbappe and Neymar are much, much better. With Icardi up front as well. Much better. And the defence found it very hard because they were playing so high. I mean, if they go smart and go, okay, let's drop a little bit more due to the pace of these players, then maybe. And I always think over two legs, any team can beat anyone, especially with away goals as well in the Champions League.
And PSG are known to collapse.
Yes. I mean, their history books aren't great for
them. They shouldn't have lost to Man United last season.
They've also had some weird-ass results, like this season in the league. Like, we're like, wow, PSG are really dominant. And they are really dominant. But then I was just like...
They lost to, like, Reims or someone, didn't they?
Yeah, and I was like, why are they 8 points ahead of Marseille? That Rennes.
Yeah, Rennes. Yeah, with the 16-year-old in midfield.
Yeah, Camavinga, that was the 1-0. Yeah, like, they've had some really odd results, but you just kind of assume as well it's because they chop and change a lot. I agree. I'm going to say, I don't know if they're going to win this game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think overall, PSG will go through.
Yes, well, yeah. I would agree with that. But I think this is the toughest one to call.
Ooh, interesting. So I've got 538 odds here for teams to make the quarters, make the semis, make the final, and win the competition. And they say they're putting this game at PSG 69% chance of going through.
I reckon, yeah.
Which is actually one of the closer ties.
Yeah,
yeah. I reckon that's about so. I mean, we'll get onto it later, but Man City, Real Madrid is the closest, and even then that's 60-40.
All right, Atletico Liverpool next. I think this one is quite easy.
Yeah, it's definitely Atleti, isn't it?
I mean, can you imagine?
But it wouldn't surprise you though, would it? With Simeone?
No, not at all.
If he came out of this and he's beaten, and he's made it through.
Atleti going in as the underdogs.
Yeah,
I think will be a big... will be in their favour.
And they love it.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They love it. They like, do. They're actually, like, quite well equipped to play Liverpool, I think, in a way. Because you're like, Liverpool's defence this season has not been spectacular. Their attack has been great.
Sure.
Like, Atleti are going to sit deep and counter. It's literally what they want to do. And so you're like, okay, you have to gamble. You have to hope your defence holds. And you have to hope that, say, you know, like, João Félix or, like, Correa can just do someone.
You've got to hope your attack hit because they have not been doing well.
Like, they've done it in the past. They did it against Barca. They've done it against Bayern.
Diego Costa's also starting to come back as well.
Yeah, great.
Which would be good.
Yannick Ferreira Carrasco, who's actually, like, a bit of a weapon in the Champions League.
And still only, like, 26.
Can he play? Has he not been quarantined like Agallo was?
Yeah, but
No, I think he was in Belgium.
Oh,
he played in China, but he was in Belgium.
Yeah, even if he did, you're not quarantined forever.
Yeah, very true.
It's not like a dog. He'll be fine.
Very true. I think that's quite... I would go for
You'd
be very surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, 538 put this at the second biggest chance of a team go through. They've given Liverpool an 80% chance of going through overall, which I think probably fair enough. Moving on, Atalanta-Valencia. I also think this is quite an easy one, just because I think Valencia are actually the worst team left in the competition, apart from maybe Napoli. I think Valencia are legit pretty bad. Atalanta... I was looking at this. It was like expected goal difference in Serie A. And it was like in second place, it was Lazio and Inter level with like plus 18. In first place, it was Atalanta with plus 30.
Jeez.
Like when they win, they rack up so many chances.
I mean, they got that 7-0 the other week, didn't they?
Yeah, and they against Torino. Yeah. And Ilicic, like Gomez. Muriel, all those guys are amazing. Like Muriel just stepped in for Zapata, no problem, banging goals. Like they are a fun team, and I just don't think Valencia have got it. I don't trust them. I think they were lucky to get out of your group, to be honest with you.
I didn't think they were too bad.
They won the group, and Chelsea came
coming
second.
From a Chelsea fan.
Second in the group.
They gave us a good run for our money.
Second in a group.
We'll put it that way. I mean, I'd be surprised, if Atalanta don't win. But I mean, I was just looking at Atalanta's final percentage. To make the final 3%.
No, that's to win the final.
To win the final.
Percentage to make the final, 8%.
Yeah, you take that.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. Yeah, basically, I mean, I would. Yeah,
it basically says like 538. Just to run through some of the odds, they've given Liverpool are favourites, then Bayern, then City, then PSG to make the final, the most likely final. I mean, obviously it depends on the draw. Liverpool and Bayern are the top rated. Again, followed by City. And then there's quite a big drop down to PSG. So, I don't know. It says Atalanta 75% chance to go through.
Wow.
I think that is mostly down to how bad Valencia are.
Yeah, because they're so inconsistent.
Tottenham-Leipzig. Let's move on to that one.
This will be a great game.
This, to me, is one of the toughest to call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
This one, they start at the new White Hart Lane. I don't know. I kind of feel like Leipzig are actually quite... well built to really annihilate Tottenham.
If Leipzig turn up, they'll walk this.
But if they don't, and you could imagine Mourinho just... You can imagine this being super dull. Son has a worldie. They win like 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's going to be a good game no matter what, because RB Leipzig are always a fun watch, especially, again, because they also play an extremely high line.
Yeah.
And if Werner's at the races as well, then I do think it could be... I think it could end up being like a 3-2. To who, I don't know.
Mm.
But I do think it could be that. And the away fixture or the second leg will be even more interesting. Mm. Just because... Oh, but even when Mourinho's been at home sometimes... Just if luck... If luck goes their way, Spurs is what I'll say. I'm going to say Spurs. I reckon they're going to get a bit of luck like they did against City. And pull off like a 2-0 win.
Ooh, okay. What? Well,
maybe
in like
2-1 win
in the first leg.
First leg, but I highly expect out RB Leipzig to
I
to
could
go
see
through.
Spurs not losing the first leg.
Sure,
but Leipzig still not being threatened and relatively comfortably go through overall.
So we're all saying Leipzig overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, yeah. 538 agrees. 64% chance of Leipzig going through. They think, which is strong. Moving on to Chelsea-Bayern. Obviously, as I've said, given that Bayern, they think, are one of the favourites to win the tournament, they've given Bayern a 76% chance of going through.
Chelsea relished being underdogs.
Chelsea, it says... It
was
says,
the last time you played
says
Bayern?
Here, Chelsea
are final.
Rubbish. Rubbish team.
Does not say that on the paper, just
it says Ruben Loftus-Cheek, not as handsome as people say.
Again, does not say that on the paper.
It says Billy Gilmore will never make it at
you
the
mean
top
the
level.
The next Pirlo.
Sorry, these are all guys that are in Zach's phone.
Look, Bayern are always going to kind of, especially in the position that it is at the moment with Chelsea kind of having a transfer.
Oh, don't be respectful. Just say it. Just Bayern, be like, Chelsea are going to go through.
I think Chelsea may do them. I think Chelsea may do them.
I think they could.
Yeah,
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
Look, Bayern's squad are so good. But then again, I watched Bayern versus RB Leipzig. And defensively, again, if they play Boateng in the final, I don't know too much about Süle's injury, if he's near enough back, near enough
I don't
fit
think
or
he
not.
Is, but Hernandez is back.
But, well, they played Hernandez on the bench against RB Leipzig. They started him on the bench.
Sure. They were not great in that game.
Boateng was awful.
He couldn't keep up.
How that was a 0-0 game, I do not know.
Leipzig should have won, I thought. The second half, it was just like breakaway, breakaway, breakaway.
They both
breakaway.
Had chances. Like Goretzka should have scored as well. But like...
Oh my God, yeah, he should have.
I also thought, you know, that Lewandowski wasn't at the races as well. But if Lewandowski's at the races against us, it's going to be frightening.
I mean, Bayern are on such a hot streak at the moment.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier in the season about how poor they had been. And that, you know, oh, this might be the season that they don't win the title. And now they're top. Like they're top,
so
and also like in among all this, like they won all six of their group games. Like
did they,
yeah, weren't they like the fourth team in history to like win all
Who
six of their Champions League group games?
Was that the point? No, Liverpool played
Spurs, Olympiakos, and
somebody else,
Red remember. Star, Belgrade.
Yeah,
smashed it,
and they literally won all of those games.
Yeah,
and I mean it's not the hardest group, but it's also not like a total walkover. They did beat Spurs.
I mean, Champions League finalists
London,
and all
7-2.
They did. Sonny will never forget it.
God. That was one of the greatest games ever.
If that happened,
everything they hit went in the second half.
Could you imagine if they came to London again and won 7-2 again?
God, it'd be so good.
I'd actually cry. I think I'd so cry. Good. Rip up my contract. I'm out.
All right, God. So I'm going to say Bayern overall.
Yeah,
Bayern overall.
I'd say Bayern overall.
Chelsea. Why not?
Well, okay. Napoli-Barcelona.
The Maradona derby.
This is the easiest one.
The Maradona derby. I like it.
I mean, Barca I don't think are great, but Napoli are legit terrible.
Yeah.
81% Barcelona's chance of going through the quarterfinals.
I mean, if there's one manager in the Champions League you think shouldn't be managing a Champions League quarterfinal, it's probably Gattuso.
Whoa. Leon are managed by Rudy Garcia. Like, let me just and also Bayern's manager is Hansi Flick, like, who's just like a bloke.
What a name.
He's just like a guy they pulled out of it. It's like
don't want to do it again.
It's like when you
get someone else.
But it's like when you get an email from, like, you know, from your old uni, you get like an alumni email and it's like, oh, you know, please give us money or whatever. It's like that. It's like they send an email out to everybody who used to
do
be
they
there
do that?
It's like they send out an email to somebody, to everyone who used to play for the club, and they're like, does anyone want to manage the team for the second half of the season? And Hansi Flick was just like,
first come, first serve.
Just had a divorce or whatever. Like, sure, I've got some time. And now Hansi Flick is going to manage them probably to like the semis of a Champions League, maybe. Okay, I mean, yeah, I agree, though. Gattuso is not good. Though they're on a bit of a run. They've had a couple of results. They beat Lazio. They beat Juventus as well, did they not? Like, they've had a couple of results lately, Napoli.
Oh, so, yeah, because Sarri had that famous line afterwards, didn't he? Sort of a...
can't win them all.
No, it was sort of a, well, if I lost to any team, I'd like it to be Napoli.
Oh, yeah, he did say that. And every Juve fan lost their heads.
Yeah.
How can our manager be saying this? Good God. I reckon it's Barca. It's got to be Barca.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Like, I'd be, out of all the fixtures, to be fair, if Barca get knocked out, I'd be very surprised. But again, anyone can win a two-leg game.
All right, come on. Moving on. Real Madrid, Man City. Now this, it says, 538 say this is the most finely poised one, but they still give Man City a 62% chance of going through.
Wow.
Now, Real Madrid are really good. They are really good. But
managed by a great manager.
I do think Man City are better. I do. Man City have got problems, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I look at Real Madrid and I'm like, is their attack that good? Like,
Benzema has been ridiculous this year, though.
Right.
He has, but I'm also like...
Is Hazard back?
No.
I think
Hazard is going to be touch and go for the first leg, but they reckon he'll be back for the second leg.
I still look at it and I think, okay, Real Madrid's defence has been quote-unquote amazing, but it hasn't been as good as as it looks. When you look at the goals conceded, you're like, Jesus. And then when you watch them, you're like, oh God. They're giving up chances all over the place.
But if there was a year, out of the past 3 years, right, if there was a year that Real Madrid would beat City in the Champions League, it's going to be this one more so than any of the others.
I mean, you probably say that this is the first year since Guardiola's taken over City that City probably aren't favourites for the Champions League.
Indeed.
At this point.
Indeed.
Mm. Yeah, probably true.
Yeah. Like before the draw, regardless of pulling out Real Madrid.
It'll be a class game. Like, it's going to be
fantastic. This is purely set up for a 1-0.
Oh, don't say
over
that.
Two legs.
I would expect, though, if City go through, that their odds of winning the tournament overall will absolutely skyrocket.
Yeah.
Because, to me, like right now, when we say they're 17% to win at Liverpool, 21%, part of that, to me, is probably down to how tough this draw is for City. Like, so if they get through against Real Madrid, you'd expect that to shoot up, and then you'd probably put them as like joint favourites, I think.
Can you play teams of the same country in the quarterfinals?
Yes, you can. Yeah. This is the last round where you can't play a team.
You're saying an El Clasico?
Your country.
An El Clasico matchup.
Well, just another City-Liverpool quarterfinal, isn't it?
I'd like that to happen. I'd like that to happen in City to actually win it for once. They just never do.
Or what, City Spurs on again?
Oh, God. No, Spurs going out. Let's hope. Okay, last one. Lyon-Juventus. This one seems very straightforward. Lyon are rubbish. Juventus are less fine. Juventus at 73%, according to 538.
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, they've got some of the... Well, to a again, I wouldn't. I mean, if Lyon somehow, if Lyon did progress, I'd be like.
I mean, the only thing you can say for Lyon is
really
how much are Juventus going to put into Serie A?
Exactly.
Now
that
they're actually being challenged,
I don't think it matters, man. Like, Lyon are not good. Like, Ronaldo's going to insist on playing.
Yeah, Dybala's been pretty good recently.
Like,
as well.
the squad is still so deep relative to Lyon's, whereas Lyon are like, I mean, I know what you mean, as in like Lyon don't actually need to. Lyon's season is gone.
Yeah. And also, Lyon
are like 10th.
They've always been very. I don't know how to put it, but they've always been like good. They've always been fine. They've always been. They might not attack well, but they don't defend poorly. If you see what I'm saying.
Sure.
Sure, they're a fine team.
Like, yeah, they've
got the worst attack, though, left in the competition, according to 538.
You can see them getting a 0-0 at home and maybe snatching something. You can see that happening.
It'll be, like, I can already picture it. It'll be like Ronaldo scoring the goal. That
or Lyon will win the home leg 2-0 and then Ronaldo will
score a hat-trick.
And it'll be like, well, best player.
Though I feel like that's like an Allegri era thing. Like, I feel like partially the thing with Allegri, and actually Conte as well, is they were like, winning 1-0 is enough. So they'd score a goal and defend, and then sometimes like shit happens and you draw or you lose. Whereas like with Sarri won't play that way. Sarri, if they score one, will be like, right, let's get another. And I think that's actually like the safer thing to do when your defence is not amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just, Lyon have just been so poor this season. Like if Depay were fit, maybe. But like I look at it and I'm like, do I really think that this team of like... There are good players there, like Dembele's good, Aouar, Corne, but is Aouar just going to like cut through the entire like Juventus team by himself?
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. I mean, Well, I think we're more trying to just be devil's advocate than anything for that one. But so Juve.
I would expect Juventus to win, yeah.
So overall, are we basically agreeing with all the favourites except for in the Bayern-Chelsea game where Zach believes Chelsea will go through?
100%.
Do you believe it or are you saying it?
It's a mix of both. Honestly, two-legged games, I just think anyone can win them.
But I get it as a fan, though, because I was in the lead-up to the West Ham City game at the weekend before it's called off. I was like, City haven't been doing well recently. We could get a 0-0 here, forgetting that I support West Ham. And that we're obviously going to get smacked 4-0.
It also depends on, like, our first game of the season. I mean, have you seen Chelsea's run? Jesus.
No.
United, Bayern, Spurs, City, Liverpool.
So three winnable, Bayern, another three one winnable games followed by two difficult games.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
United, easy. Spurs, easy. Bayern, easy.
I'm not saying anything. But yeah.
That is a rough
That's our Champions League roundup. Wrap it before I have to commit to anything.
All right, okay. Let's move on to our final section before we get into anything but football, which is Mauricio Pochettino, who's back in the news, clearly angling. He's got his fishing rod out for the United job. He was on the In The Pink podcast, which I haven't heard of, but he was on it and he said, to be honest, I'd love to work in this.
That's how he'd say it.
It's going to be difficult, I know. For now, it's a moment to wait. We'll see what happens. It's a moment of recovery, to think about yourself a little bit. A lot of self-care talk here.
Bless him.
To be ready, because in football, always something can happen and you need to be ready. I'm waiting for a new challenge, blah, 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 blah.
He's off to United.
He wants to go to United.
Well, and you saw last night as well, or Tuesday night, he was at the Leeds-Brentford game with Neil Ashton, who has recently become Ed Woodward's head of PR.
I mean, that is a job. I would require a high salary to
get
that job.
Yeah.
I'd happily get sacked from that job. That'd be great.
Poch to United, though, is good. Sure, it's one of the better managers out of the recent guys that have come after Sir Alex Ferguson. And there are good players at United. Like, the defence is half decent. They've got Rashford, Martial,
Paul Pogba.
I mean, whether he's there in the summer, I don't know. But
the idea
of having Pochettino might keep him around. And I don't think Bruno Fernandes is the worst thing.
Sure.
Did you see
United need a good manager to fix them. You can't have Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's not good.
I was going to say, did you guys see that clip of the Man United Wolves game of the weekend or whenever it was recently? And Bruno Fernandes swapped shirts with someone and was wearing the shirt, and then David De Gea just went and said, well done, mate. Sort of like, thinking he was on the other team.
Didn't clock it
was Bruno Fernandes when he was sort of shaking hands with everyone. Oh my
God. But I mean, he had joined two days before.
No, yeah, come on.
But you still expect to
it is.
He's been linked with the club since the summer.
It is quality.
That's just cause, like, so good.
He looks perfect in the Wolves shirt as well.
Yeah, he's Portuguese. Like, he should be playing for Wolves. Oh, that's so good.
It was fantastic.
That's genuinely amazing. I mean, like, the thing is, though, what you said there is you were like, to fix United. Does this fix United? Does Pochettino going there
definitely helps?
Sure.
It helps in that there's a better manager.
Yeah.
But does it? It doesn't solve all the issues above the manager's level.
Right.
So, like, boardroom and, you know,
I mean, that's a whole recruitment. I mean, that's a podcast.
Recruitment, director
of
football, all that sort of stuff. That when
the Glazer situation, all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, that whole situation is literally a podcast in itself. But who else is the right manager for United to sign? Like, in my opinion, Pochettino is probably number one.
No, he is. But the concern is, like, you bring in a manager.
You're saying at the wrong time.
Well, no, you bring him in, and if you don't support him, if you basically carry on saying, like, we're going to target these players, and he doesn't get any say in that, then I'd be concerned that there's only so much he can improve things. Like, okay, what I thought would be the good thing about getting a Pochettino in is that he will do what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer won't, and he'll say, look, this is what I want to happen. I want us to sort out the training ground. I want to bring in some guys who I trust, like, who have consulted with me on transfers before. Mm. I want to have, like, I want a guarantee of how much money I'm going to have, all that kind of stuff.
But he's still been at, he was still at, like, the behest of Levy at Spurs, wasn't he?
To a degree.
Levy sort of always seemed to always have the final say, and you could see over the last summer when Pochettino was saying things like, I'm not really the manager here, I'm just the head coach.
Yeah. But then he also did get some players he wanted. Like, he supposedly really wanted Sissoko, he wanted Juan Foyt, like, he wanted Lo Celso. Like, these are players he wanted. And, like, if he gets those guarantees, then I think that would be better than Ed Woodward just doing it, though I also don't really like the idea of giving the manager all that power. However, I also think that the fact that he's making such an obvious, like, public come and get me,
yeah,
like, plea, it does just seem a little bit like he's giving up some of that power. Like, so when Man United eventually
come,
he's going to have a little bit less leverage because they're going to be like, we know you want this job. Like, you're literally talking to everyone about how you want this job.
You're in public with somebody who works for us.
Whereas if he was just like, nah, I'll probably just wait and go to Real Madrid or Bayern, I guess, like, when they eventually
need
a coach.
He has a bit more power.
Then when Man United come, he can be like, well, you know what? If I'm going to come there, you've got to give me this and that and that. Mm-hmm. Like, now I kind of feel like you're being too easy to get.
Okay. I was about to say something then.
He's showing too much leg. He just
there you go.
Just be like slightly flirtatious and then leave it.
I'll just show the ankle.
Yeah, just a bit of ankle, a bit Victorian.
But even
it's a good. I don't want him to go to United because he will be good.
Yeah, exactly. That's the annoying thing, especially. I reckon he'll get the absolute
and
best
Joe will
out
become
of them.
Again. Joe,
let me quickly mention something, right?
Oh, he's gone mental.
How much does it annoy you guys? I've said it to his face as well. When United do well, he's always just, oh, United's the best, United's this, United's that. But when they do bad, the way he gets round anyone else taking the mickey out of him, he'll go, if we're doing bad, how bad are your clubs doing? He does this all the time, and it infuriates me.
And if you beat his team, he'll be like, well, we're awful.
Yeah, no, he should have beaten us.
So he'll come in like the day after like Arsenal beat Man United, and he'll be like, how bad are Arsenal and Man United, by the way? And you're like, well, we are better than you.
He did that for when West Ham beat him 2-0 early in the season, and, you know, look at us now.
Yeah.
It's like football fans are like the most fickle people, and Joe is the most fickle of the fickle football fans.
Oh, bless him.
Scumbag. Let's move on to anything but football.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Okay, so anything but football, it was pretty much the only topic this week. We're going to talk about the Oscars with noted film lover Mike Atkins.
I watch them occasionally.
You've seen like some films.
I have seen films.
I haven't seen anything this year.
Well, this year, the last thing I went to watch in the cinema was that film about the woman who went into WWE.
Fighting with My Family. Yeah. Florence Pugh, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Little Women.
Oh, I've not seen Little
Women.
She
did not win.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah, I've barely seen. I used to see, like, when I worked for film companies, I used to see, like, every award nominated film.
Oh, okay.
I would make an effort to do it.
Yeah.
But now I don't.
I have seen none of these films.
Okay, so just to run through, obviously, best actor was Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
Did not see that.
Best actress was Renée Zellweger for Judy.
Can I say I've never heard of that film?
She's playing Judy Garland. I don't think anyone cared about the film. I think it made, like, $39 million.
But she obviously did a good job.
Not a lot.
No, it's not.
No, that's very little. Best supporting actor was Brad Pitt for Once Time in Hollywood.
That's good.
You haven't seen it?
I feel like I say this a lot in the office. There are a lot of films that I want to see, but I just never see until
they're
like,
a lot of these are on Netflix, man. Marriage Story, The Irishman, they're both on Netflix.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's all the sort of Charles Manson
but
stuff.
But there's so much
like that.
I don't know. For me, they're so like.
What are we talking
deep
about?
Deep films. And I'm like.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is not a deep film.
Okay, but the issue with that, it came out. If I don't see it within 2 weeks, I'll just wait until it comes out on Sky.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I do know what you mean. Like, as in, I'll rent a film, like, to watch with my wife if we really, really want to see it. But, like, we actually... I say that.
I would like to go to cinema more.
But the big story of the night was obviously that that Bong Joon-ho won for Best Director, he won Best Picture, he won Best International Picture, he won Best Original Screenplay his film Parasite. Yeah, and I've been genuinely trying to see this for weeks.
Yeah.
And the cinema near me has not put it on. And now eventually, like, we were delighted when it won because it meant that it got put on at our cinema. So we're going to see it on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
But this was the first film in a foreign language to win the Best Picture Oscar.
That's sick.
Good on them.
Well, because I saw an interview where
inclusion
where
and all that.
The interviewer, who might not have been her fault, it might have been the producer or whatever asking her to say it, said to him, "Why is it in Korean?"
Like, because he's a Korean director making a film in Korea with a Korean cast about Korean class audience. Issues in Korea. That's what the film is about.
Imagine if he went, so we put it in English. It's like, what? Of course
it's
in Korean.
It's so weird, man. I mean, he has made films in English before. He made a film called Okja, which is on Netflix. He made Snowpiercer with Chris Evans that you might have seen.
I've heard of Chris Evans. Radio DJ, sure. Right?
Yeah, that's it. But it's like a really heartwarming story, right? Like, have you seen the videos of him, like, just looking at his Oscar and being delighted with it?
He seems like such a nice guy. Like, I saw
his speech was amazing.
I saw this thing on the BBC website the other day about the people he'd invite to dinner. If he could have five guests to invite for dinner. So he'd invite, like, Hitchcock, Scorsese, former Korean figure skater. Won gold in, like, 2010 or something like that.
Yeah. I can't remember that.
Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin. And Kevin De Bruyne.
Isn't that amazing? What a list.
just Kevin De Bruyne.
Do you reckon like... Why Kevin De Bruyne?
Imagine Kevin walking through the door. And
why not Son?
Well, he must be a football fan. Does he have a team he supports in Korea? Because if so, you'd be like, why not somebody from there? Or, like the world's most high-profile Korean player... But is he a Man City fan? Does he support like the Belgian national team? like there are so many interesting questions. Or maybe he just thinks that of all footballers, and this would make sense, Kevin De Bruyne would probably be like the best value at a dinner party because he's actually intelligent.
Kevin also just does not care. Have you seen him in interviews recently?
Yeah, sure.
He's given up on caring. He'll just be like, why have you asked me this?
But do you remember that thing as well? I think this was... Do you remember when he did an interview where he was actually talking about like different tactics that his side employed? And it was like legit interesting. Maybe that's what Bong's thought. He's just like, you know what? Like,
could you imagine
this guy's going to be such an insight into football?
It's so weird. Imagine that his week, say he is a City fan, and like throughout the week he's filming this Parasite. He's in Korea. If it was shot in Korea, I'm actually not too sure. And then just on a Saturday in the morning, sticks on the football. Kevin De Bruyne. He's just like, yes, go on, Kevin. Wearing a Man City shirt. Kevin De Bruyne in the back. Go on, Kevin.
And then he watches reruns of like figure skating from the 2010 Olympics. She's a former figure skater. I don't know. It's just fascinating that he was like former figure skater. Bang, straight in.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
I got the idea. I had a quick look at her.
She's like a 29-year-old woman.
Yeah, I had a quick look at her Wikipedia page. It seems like she's like the darling of South Korean winter sports. Sort of one of them.
You're a big perv.
Well, it's Tom Daly.
So it's him, four blokes, and this one woman. Okay. Like, sure, fair enough. But I think it's genuinely like a really nice story. Yeah, and I think and his speech, I think, is genuinely one of the best in Oscars history. Because he said, they always shout out their fellow nominees. But he started with a quote from Scorsese. Like, then he talked about, like, how Quentin Tarantino has always been, like, a big fan and has done a great job of, like, proselytizing about his work in the US. You know, like, introducing it to a wider audience.
Yeah.
Then he said, Sam Mendes and Todd Phillips, like, you also, like, I understand were nominated. And then he was just like, and then he said, if you gave me a Texas chainsaw, I would chop this trophy up into five pieces and share it with my fellow nominees. And then he said, I'm going to drink till the morning. Thanks.
Oh, what a lovely...
It's best direction.
This was in South Korea. The rest of the time he said in English, he said, great honour, thank you. And I was just walk off.
It's best director. It's best director, the last one they give
no,
out.
No, best picture is the last one.
He went up...
Four times,
fair play.
Yeah, though I mean, like, normally best picture, like, traditionally, like, best director obviously is going to, the director accepts Best picture is usually accepted by the producers.
Normally
the producer is seen as like, it, like actually like, the producer is seen as the person who ultimately takes ownership of the whole film.
Sure.
So usually the producer will accept best picture. But obviously, like, he has like a very close relationship with like it's not one of those situations where it's like a big studio movie, you know, where like there's a director who's just brought in like a Marvel movie and the director doesn't actually matter as much. Like these are situations where like you work really closely with specific people again and again and they have an established relationship, and as a result you're a producer of your own work.
That makes sense.
I thought it was great stuff. Were there any ones that you saw people... Did you see anyone get snubbed that you would have liked to win? Or did you see anything where you were kind of like...
Well, I did see some film stuff over the weekend.
Okay.
I say some film stuff. What was it? The Independent Spirit Film Awards or whatever it was.
Independent Spirit Awards,
And Adam Sandler won Best Something or Other at
it. Front Cut Gems?
Yeah.
Oh, it's sick.
And it's his good, though, his yeah. speech in that was, because I saw that and that he won it, and I saw his speech, and his speech was along the lines of, he made like these comparisons with high school about how he was always voted as best personality, but never like person of the year or whatever they okay. have at high school. And he likened the Independent Film Spirit to, was like the best personality awards at school.
Wow.
And that really it was
most
for,
improved.
Yeah, things like that. And I don't know, it was just nice to see, like, Adam Sandler has this reputation.
Yeah.
But he actually won an award for being good.
Yeah.
And apparently, I haven't seen Uncut Gems, and people are talking about Uncut Gems as like,
I've seen the trailer,
as like being snubbed for the Oscars, which, I mean, I don't know how it works if it was out too late for this year.
Well, tell you what, do get snubbed by the Oscars, Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and Furious.
Shut up.
How is Dwayne
Have you managed to get tickets to the premiere yet?
If anyone is watching and can get me to the premiere of Fast and Furious 9, give you a bit of background about myself, I love the Fast and Furious series.
That's literally the two things in Sex Life, so Fast and Furious and Chelsea.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to know about
me. Give
you
a bit of background about myself. What are you talking about?
So if anyone is out there and can get me to the premiere of
F9.
Really
just to go back
it.
To the Oscars. Joaquin Phoenix gave a weird ass speech.
What did he say?
Because like he's used like the award circuit to shout out a bunch of stuff, you know, like racial prejudice in like film casting, like loads
that
of
would have gone down well at the Oscars.
Yeah, sure. Loads of stuff that needs to be called out. But then he decided to talk about veganism because he's a super vegan.
Okay.
And he was like, and he was saying like how ridiculous it is that cows are artificially inseminated so that they will become pregnant and produce milk so that we can get milk from them, but then when they give birth to a calf, the calf will be taken away. And it's like, it's one of those things that like, I'm sure to him it made sense when he was like, of course I'd talk about that. But you're like, you've won an award for being in a film, and it's not like you go up there and you're like, there's a problem with the film industry, like there's loads of sexism and racism. He went up there and he was just like, you know what I really don't like? When we artificially inseminate cows and then we take away like their young from them. What's he on about? Like, I mean, like, I understand it's like, oh, I've got this platform, but I was also like, shut up.
Wacky. It'll be irrelevant in a year.
Also, it's really hard to have a satisfying diet that is vegan unless you're super rich. I was like, this is, you're just not connected to reality because, like, for the majority of people, their factors with food is they want to enjoy it and they want it to not be too expensive. Those are the factors that most people have. Yeah. Whereas for him, he's just like, I don't care. Like, I can get a private chef to cook me up like an amazing vegan meal.
Every day.
It's a bit like that Cantona speech recently. Do you remember that Cantona speech? He won at
there are quite a few.
at the Champions League draw, he had a speech. He won some sort of award.
Yes.
And I've just got his speech up here. You'll love it. This is his entire speech. As flies are to wanton boys, are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport.
That's from King Lear.
Soon the science will not only be able to slow down the aging of the cells, soon the science will fix the cells to the state, and so we will become eternal. Only accidents, crimes, wars will still kill us, but unfortunately, crimes, wars will multiply. I love football. Thank you.
I love football. That's so good.
That was an entire
That's what
speech.
Makes it good. Like, if he just finished, it wouldn't have been as good as when he was just like, I love football.
And like during the speech, it was just like panning to like Ronaldo, Messi, like random like football executives,
and
they were just looking. They had this look on their face, like, "What the fuck's going on?"
As flies to wanton boys, are we to the gods? Though that's from King Lear. King Lear, well worth reading.
Definitely not going to read.
But
it.
Also watch Little Women, everyone, because
I will try.
When I look at these awards, I would have liked to see Saoirse Ronan win for Little Women over Renée Zellweger, who I don't care for.
Oh, Jojo Rabbit's in it.
I don't think ScarJo should have been nominated for Best Actress for Marriage Story. I think she's legit not great in that film. Laura Dern won Best Supporting Actress for Marriage Story. Ridiculous. Wasn't even her best performance of the year. It's really annoying, her performance in that film. Like, she's... What is Marriage Story?
It's just a
film about two people breaking up, and it's semi-autobiographical. It's by a guy called Noah Baumbach, who is one of the world's worst blokes. Like, he made a semi-autobiographical film, and in it, Adam Driver is basically playing a fictionalized version of Noah Baumbach, and then he wins a MacArthur Genius Grant, and they keep saying, like, you're a genius, ahaha! And you're like, don't call yourself a genius in a film about yourself. Like, it's rude.
Isn't Adam Driver the one that can't stand his own performances?
Probably, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think it was him.
Adam Driver's legit great in Marriage Story. He really is. I don't think ScarJo's great. I think Laura Dern's fine.
Yeah.
But like, she was nominated for the wrong film. She won. Florence Pugh should have won for Little Women. It's a disgrace. Because Little Women is amazing and Florence Pugh is wonderful in it. Like, seriously, she's so good. I've never read Little Women. I tried.
What's Little Women about?
Okay, it's about like these four.
I feel like I always get Little Women and Pretty Woman
growing up in Reconstruction era America. So like, this is like post Civil War, or actually no, it's slightly just post Civil War, and they're just like kind of growing up and figuring life things out. And
they're Little Women.
I've never read the book. I'm going to hate this film, but my wife loves the book. She was like, let's go and see it. And by the end of it, I was like, I just want the Little Women to be happy. Like, that's all I want. And it's so good. Like, and Florence Pugh is so good. And Timothée Chalamet, I've never really... I like him as an actor, but I've never really seen the fuss. After this film, I was like, this guy's dreamy. Like, he's like a little angel. And he went to the Oscars dressed as like an Italian race car driver. He's wearing a suit that looks like it's flame retardant. Like, and his hair's like all slicked back. He genuinely looks amazing. Yeah, so I think that's anything but football for this week. Thank you very much to Beer52 for sponsoring this podcast. And as we said before, go to Beer52, that's beer52.com/extra to claim your 10 beers. You only have to pay the £4.95 postage and you'll get those and a copy of Ferment magazine and some beery snacks. That's one of my favorite videos on the internet. I've got that saved in my favorites for when I feel sad. Thanks very much for joining me, guys.
No problem.
Thank you for having
me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time, and you as well. Bye. Yeah.
Three ways.
Do it.
It's extra time.
She shoots, and it's a goal.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.